Chapter 49 Gavin sat in his hell, sat silent, cross-legged, with the poisoned bread clasped lightly in his hands.
Useless, the dead man said to him.
The poison and the bread and the hunger, his companions, they were oddly precious to him now. His world had contracted to a space as narrow as his dreams and as wide as his ribcage with its knocking, laboring heart. He was, perhaps, losing coherence. They have loved the darkness. How could anyone love darkness? He supposed that in darkness everyone was as blind as a one-eyed man. His handicap became universal. He was afraid of dying, he saw that now, but he was also resigned to it. He didn't think he deserved better. Caris deserved better. He should never have married her, should never have drawn her into his circle at all. He was poison and he'd known it, and yet he had let her love him. She'd had nothing from him but grief. It was so unfair, unfair of him who should have known, and unfair of Orholm to allow it. But then of all people it was unseemly of him to whinge about fairness, wasn't it?
You could be in Caris's bed now, the dead man said. You coward.
The first part cut through Gavin like a black Luxin tooth, but the latter part, coward, was oddly off point. Was the young him so obtuse that he thought such an insult would hurt him? Gavin knew he was a coward in certain areas. It had taken him 15 years to be honest with Caris, but in physical danger he was often careless to a fault. Had he really once thought coward would be a cutting insult? Odd. It actually took his attention away from the open sore that was Caris and how badly he'd treated her. At some point, seated cross-legged as he was, he faded into sleep. As he stood atop a tower, a dream giant towered over him, a colossus of light blocking out the sun, but its own features not thereby cast into shadow. Gavin felt himself guttering under the force of the giant's gaze. No, melting, like a candle man in a holocaust, wax streaming from every limb, right on the edge of combustion. Please, he begged. He held up a hand to block out the light, to find some darkness in which to hide, but his hand itself shimmered, turned to liquid glass. It gave him no shade. He was transparent. But he wasn't clear. Threaded through the pellucid flesh of his very hand were veins of thorny black, quivering angrily, exposed and hurting in the light, shrieking soundlessly, grinding and twisting to find some relief. As the thorns rotated, splintering and lacerating the flesh they called home, Gavin's entire body convulsed with pain. He fell. From the pure white marble ground he crossed his glassine arms to defend himself, and saw another thick vein of parasitic, bloated blackness in his other arm. He tore open his tunic and saw, encased and strangled in a cage of thorns, his own black heart. No, not black. It was grey, diseased. It pulsed loathsomely, and he was disgusted, and he was ashamed. He plucked it from his chest to fling it away and die, rightly die, and then he saw, at his heart's heart, a glimmer. Storm clouds were gathering overhead, massive thunderheads of judgment, coming with such speed as to make up for how long they had been delayed. The air, so thin up here, changed palpably. But Gavin had seen the white. His grey heart writhed, and the whiteness was swallowed again. No! He shouted to the coming storm and the wind that whipped his body cold. I need more time!